Good morning, church. Let's start off by praying. And good morning to all of you who are joining us online. Father God, we thank you for this time together. Lord, we lift up all the people that have been affected by this chemical leak in Garden Grove. Father, I pray over your people that have been evacuated. Lord, provide for them. Keep them safe, God. And we pray for your mighty hand to be involved in this, God. Supernaturally, fix whatever is going on over there, God, and shield your people from getting sick, from getting harmed. And we ask you, Almighty God, in the name of Jesus, to move in this circumstance. And bless your people as they have been dispersed, God. Today, I lift up this moment to you right now, and I thank you for your word. Give us ears to hear today, God. I pray that this would be a fresh infilling for all of us, a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit today for your church. In celebration of the birth of the church. So thank you, God, in advance for not one person leaving today the way they came in. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So today we celebrate the birth of the church and the fulfillment of promise. The Lord God promised he would send his Holy Spirit to baptize his people in power and in presence. The same power and authority that the Lord Jesus Christ operated under is the same power and authority he gives his church. Why? To be effective in our witness of the reality that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is no one like our God. This is Pentecost Sunday, church. And it is also called the Feast of Weeks or the Harvest of First Fruits. And it was an annual Jewish feast held in Jerusalem and was likely the best attended of the three required feasts, which is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles, because weather conditions were best for travel. Pentecost is also known as the Day of First Fruits. Pentecoste, which is the Greek word, is literally means 50th, because it takes place 50 days after Passover. Here's an interesting fact. The first Pentecost happened 50 days after the first Passover, even though the Israelites didn't commemorate that. 50 days after the Israelites were delivered from Egypt, when God delivered them, 50 days after that, Moses was given the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. So the law was given. And we see that 50 days after the crucifixion of Jesus, 50 days after Passover, we are given the Holy Spirit. The church is given the Holy Spirit. So now in the Old Testament, the law was given 50 days after Passover, that was written on tablets. Well, 50 days after Passover, the Holy Spirit's given and the law is written on our heart. And the Holy Spirit gives us the power to live this out. As we study the birth of the church today, remember this. They had no building. They had no money. They had no influence politically or any other way. And they had no social status. They had no internet. Yet the church won multitudes, thousands to Christ. 3,000 that day alone. With the energizing power of the Holy Spirit of God. So let's get into it today. I'm going to start in Acts 1 to kind of give us a background, a backstory, a foundation. And then we'll move from there and go into Acts 2. The author of Acts is Luke. He's the same Luke that wrote the gospel, you know, the gospel of Luke in the synoptic gospels. Same guy. Acts chapter 1 verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all the things, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. That's his resurrection. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates that my Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So we see that Jesus, before he left, he gives the disciples an order. And he says, look, wait. Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait. Wait on the Holy Spirit before you do anything. And then when he comes, witness. So we see wait and witness. But where do the disciples go straight to? So are you going to reestablish the kingdom to Israel? Like what? And he's like, hey, and I'm paraphrasing, but he's like, chill out. Don't worry about the future. Because you will be filled with power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Don't worry. And the truth is still today. Don't worry about the future, church. The Holy Spirit enables right then on the day of Pentecost till right now, he's given us the power to walk through whatever is coming down the pike. And God knows the times and the dates for everything. So chill out. Walk in the power of the Holy. That's what he wanted us to remember. Don't trip on the future. Walk in the power. Have faith in God and his sovereignty and his good heart that he loves you, and walk in the power of the promise. Amen. So we go to Acts 2, verse 1. Man, I've been excited about preaching to you about this today. I've been studying all week, getting fired up, going, woo, let's go, you know. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Okay, there's a couple things that we can really dig into and draw out of this. First of all, when the day of Pentecost came, that word for came is simplero, and it means to be swamped or to be fulfilled. When the day of Pentecost literally engulfed and took over the day, like just flooded the day, they were all together. That is homothumadon, and it means that not only were they physically all together, but they were of one mind and one purpose. What did they do right? They obeyed Jesus at his word. They were in Jerusalem waiting. He said in a few days. Didn't even tell him when. He said in a few days, wait, because in a few days you will receive power, the promise that my Father has given that I have spoke to you about. So they are all together in one place. with expectation. These people were of one mind, one heart. We're waiting on God. We don't know when, but we trust Him. They were probably, you know, ministering to each other, reading scripture, praising God, worshiping together, but they were together. In another way they can put it is in one accord, just one unified body of believers. So this happened 10 days after Jesus' ascension. There were 120 people in that room, including the 12 apostles, excluding Judas, but they voted in Matthias to complete the 12. So there's 12 apostles there, plus however many 120 minus 12 is. They were the other disciples of Jesus. Now think about this. They are waiting for the promise for 10 days. Kind of doesn't sound long as we're, you know, studying it, read it, but think about this. On day 9, the temptation to go, you know what? It's been great, everybody, but I'm going to split. They lasted 10 days. And I say that because it convicted me, guys. We live in a culture of microwave satisfaction. And I think it's because we're so capable on our own abilities that we have gotten really bad at waiting on God. It brings me back to the times and because I want to make this, I want to give you something to take with you today. And it's by the power of the Holy Spirit, guys, but he reminds me of the times that I go in my backyard and I put on worship and I just sit there. I like to look at the sky and I see the birds and the trees in my backyard, and it's usually we have beautiful weather. We're in Southern California, so. And I just sit there, and I, even though we can ask Him for things, but the beginning, definitely the beginning is, hey, I'm just coming here to spend time with You. I'm taking, you know, time out of my busy life, God. And I'm here, and I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna wait and worship and just magnify Your name. Thank You for all that You've done for me in my life. Thank You for my salvation. I'm just gonna sit here. Maybe I'm even quiet. And I'm just sitting there, meditating on His presence, on the reality that He is my God and I am His child. And I wait until that manifestation, the connection, because God is everywhere all the time. But it's about us connecting spirit to spirit. The Holy Spirit just begins to resonate inside of me. It is a feeling you get that, you're here. How often do we do that, church? How often are we waiting on Him before we go, before we make a decision, before we go out and do a ministry? And by the way, your ministry is everywhere your foot treads. That is your pulpit. And so are we waiting? Are we walking in the Spirit, waiting on God, moving throughout our day with a conscious reality that God is not only with me, He's in me. So these people, these disciples, were waiting. Verse 2. Suddenly. I love that word. God is the God of suddenlies. A sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Listen, God's timing is perfect. You've been praying for things, praying for people for a while now. Don't give up. Do not give up in praying for God's will and for your, you know, friends and family salvation. Do not give up, because God is the God of suddenlies. And they were obedient to the word of God until the promise was fulfilled. They didn't give up because God promised. Well, I'm going to sit here and wait because God promised. I'm going to stay here and pray because you promised, Lord. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to get discouraged. I'm not going to let defeat and my own intellect win over the truth of what you promised me. I will keep on keeping on because you're faithful, God, even when I'm not. You never change, even though I do. And suddenly, that word for wind is noe. And it means wind, but it also means breath. And I wanted to compare that to when they use spirit. Like the Holy Spirit, capital S, is pneuma, and it also means wind and breath. So literally, because you cannot see the Holy Spirit, you can feel the results of Him. You can see, you know, just like the wind will break off a branch and you see the results of that. You can feel the wind blowing. You cannot see it. And so the Holy Spirit is the same. And He comes into this house like a mighty, like a hurricane. The sound. So they hear the sound of 100 freight trains coming in. Okay? Into the house and filled the whole house. That word is oikos, and it does mean home, but by extension, it means family and lineage. That house was completely filled with every family member of God in that place. From top to bottom, everything was filled with the breath of God. God breathed. That's God's breath. 100 freight trains coming in. It's great. So we can compare it to when, you know, let's go back to the beginning. God created man out of the dirt, and then He breathed life into him. God is bringing new life into the new covenant of the church with the breath of the Holy Spirit. Again, it takes us from, in this very moment in history, it takes God's people from just being God with us when Jesus was present and He said, I gotta go. Because if I don't go, the Spirit can't come. So now we go from God with us, Emmanuel, to God in us. This is where the fulfillment of the prophecy and the will of God is manifested, because now the glory is living in mankind. And the power now is way beyond whatever could have happened or would have happened. Amen. The church would have never been able to be sustained and fulfilled and without the Holy Spirit in us, the power of God in us. Now the breath has been blown by the Lord. I want to compare this with what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 16 through 19. He said, and I was telling the disciples this, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you, and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you'll see me. Because I live, you also will live. He is saying again here, fear not, church. Fear not. You don't have to fear death anymore, because for the believer, death is a good day. It's all the rest of us that are left behind that love you that are sad. But we don't have to fear death, because it's a transition into glory, baby. It's the best day ever for the believer. It gets better, not worse. Amen? And we don't have to fear situations, because God is in control. He's got everything counted out strategically. And tough times are coming. This isn't a prosperity message today of health and wealth and just give enough today and you'll be all right. The more you give, the better you are, you know, the more healthy and strong and good looking you become. No, but the truth is here that we don't have to be scared of people anymore, because the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. Kindness, gentleness, self-control. This is a superpower that believers possess. We must learn how to operate in those. Of course. We have to override feelings. We have to override the way we've protected ourselves the whole, you know, all of our life by, you know, if you're not literally doing this, you're doing this like on the inside. And trusting God. You know, I'm not going, God, I trust you. When you say that there is power in gentleness, I believe you. When you say that there's power in being humble and kind, I believe you. And I trust you. I trust you with my circumstances, with people, with my life. And so in that, there's the freedom. When we really believe that and walk in that, and this is why we must renew our mind with the truth, because we're leaky, is that we walk in that freedom. God is in control. Yeah, I'm going through a hard time right now. Yeah, my feelings are all over the place. But God, your truth, your promises overrides my feelings. So I give you it all. Take my life. Whatever happens is going to happen. I trust your heart. I trust your will. And I submit to that. May I just look like I belong to you through this. And not like the old Chris Jones. But like a new born again believer that loves you, Jesus, and trusts you at your word. Amen? Amen. Verse 3. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. So we've heard, everybody heard the Holy Spirit showing up, and now they see. They see the manifested glory of God as tongues of fire separating and coming to rest on them. Wind speaks of the power of God. Fire speaks of the presence of God. Okay? The glory was seen and heard that day. Now the tongues of flames were signs of a personal visitation to the mind and the heart of the chosen company in that room. The fire did not consume them because the Lord had prepared them for such a visitation. This is a privilege of God's people. Fellowship with God's glory that illuminates the mind, because it's light, and cleanses the heart. That fire that cleanses. They will now be these people that did not have, they didn't go to Bible college. They weren't the spiritual elite. They weren't the Pharisees. These were the ordinary people who trusted Jesus Christ at his word and waited. We're now empowered by the Holy Spirit with the power to preach and teach. These people now would be the teachers. These ordinary people would be the teachers of what is truth, because they had the Spirit of truth. That's what we have, church. Normal people with the Spirit of truth living inside of us. That glory that they're seeing is the glory of God. And because many times in the Bible, fire is associated with judgment. Okay? But, and I'll talk about this in a little bit, but this glory, this fire of God is also in different, you know, parts of the Bible. One, the burning bush with Moses. Moses is taught, God is speaking to Moses, take off your sandals, this is holy ground. And the bush would not be consumed. That's the glory of God. When the Israelites were delivered from Egypt and they were walking through the desert, a cloud by day, fire by night. It is the glory, the manifested glory of God. And that's where they're witnessing this. So they've heard the sound. They see the manifested glory. And, you know, there are commentators that I highly respect that are going to disagree with me on this area. But I'm going to use scripture to back up where I stand, and also experience. In Matthew, I chose Matthew's gospel. In Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist tells the people that he's been baptizing in water. I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me comes the one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Some commentators say that what he means is that the saints get baptized with the Holy Spirit and the fire is the judgment and the fire to come for the sinner. I disagree. John the Baptist is saying he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, not and fire for the sinner. And it's this glory that shows up. Listen, this is a cleansing fire, right? A supernatural baptism, a cleansing fire of the Holy Spirit, contrasted with the symbol of cleansing of water. Okay? We are getting our spirits, we are baptized, immersed in the Spirit of God. He now is taking control. He is the one residing in us. And so, even though we are sinners and we do sin, we can't sin the same. It's not the same. The glory of God lives inside of us. And that very fire that these commentators are talking about, that does consume the wicked, renews the people of God, refines us. Okay? It's a refining fire for us. Because see, we get to partake in the glory. He lives in us. It's not killing us. He lives in us. And it's a refinement. And that's what we call sanctification. We can't lie like we used to. It used to be so easy for me. Now it's not. You know, we getting angry. And by the way, that took me a long time walking with Jesus to get rid of that. So some things are going to take more refining. And God will keep allowing, he'll allow us to keep in situations until there's gold there. There's gold there. I'm going to quote from Zechariah 13. And this will confirm why I believe what I believe about the scriptures. Awake, sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is close to me, declares the Lord Almighty. Strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered, and I will turn my hand against the little ones. In the whole land, declares the Lord, 2/3 will be struck down and perished, yet 1/3 will be left in it. This third I will put into the fire. I will refine them like silver and test them like gold. They will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people, and they will say, the Lord is our God. He uses his fire to refine us. That's what we're looking at in this room, is a visitation, a personal visitation of a cleansing, a refining, and an empowerment. A residency of the Holy Spirit coming into his church. Verse 4 of Acts chapter 2. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So, this is a very controversial subject. So I'm going to address it. The things of the Spirit are bizarre. Like the outcome of the move of the Spirit, it blows people's minds and it's very bizarre. But these people were completely filled with the Spirit of God, and in this particular circumstance, and with good reason, these people began to speak in other tongues. The Greek word is glossa, and it means languages. These people were speaking in other languages, like real languages, glorifying God, praising God of his wonders and his goodness. So let's go to verse 5 and 6. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. There's God-fearing Jews that are gathering for this feast. All over, so it's a packed house. It's a, you know, people are, they're from all over the place. When they heard this sound, so they also heard the 100 freight trains. They gathered. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. So they were hearing their own language being spoken by these Galileans. It was a move of God. And here's why. This was a sign. It was a sign for every Jew that chooses to reject Jesus Christ as the Messiah. All those Pharisees that just did religion and rejected Jesus, killed Jesus. This is a sign setting them aside. You are not the chosen ones. I'm going to pour out my Spirit on regular people from all over the world. They're Jews, but they were believing Jews. They received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and God filled them. It's like, this is my church. These are my people. I know God has a special, you know, thing going on for Israel in the end times, but this is where the church is born. This is what has literally set apart the church of Jesus Christ. And so these people are speaking in other languages, okay? God chooses the last, the least, and the lost to fill his church with power that comes from nowhere else but him. So I'm going to, and then it, you know, Acts goes on to list all the different languages that they heard. I didn't think that was important for today, so I'm going to skip to verse 12. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Listen, when the Spirit moves, there are people that will have their minds blown because it's a trip. If you've ever seen or experienced somebody getting delivered from demonic oppression or possession, it's a trip. It's a mind blower because it's like, wow, like this is real. There's, you know, people get healed. You know, have cancer. I used an example, like sometimes they don't, but sometimes they do. It's all up to God, right? It's his time. He's told us to just be obedient, lay hands on the sick and pray for healing. I was coming out for church, you know, and I go through the foyer and I come around and one day and there's this family out in the foyer and they're like, hey man, like one of the guys says, hey, I have, you know, I can't remember what stage it was, but I think he said stage 4 cancer, brain cancer. Will you pray for me? But he definitely had brain cancer. And I'm like totally distracted on my way into church. And I'm like, yeah, of course. And I you know, it wasn't like a, oh Lord, thou art God and by your mighty hand. You know, it was just like, Lord, you say lay your hands on the sick and they shall be healed. God, I pray that you, Jesus, you would curse this cancer like you cursed the fig tree. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, brother, God bless you. You know what I mean? I got church. Didn't think about it. Months later, he came back, goes, brother, God healed me. I'm cancer free. Like, It's about what he wants to do at the time, just making ourselves available for obedience. And not like God couldn't heal him without us, but he enjoys using his people. He enjoys sharing. Because what happens? Glory to God! You healed that man of brain cancer? Praise you, Lord. And you used me in it? Wow! Thanks. You know, he shares in the magnificence of something like that and it brings glory to him. All glory to God. Amen. So listen, some people will try to intellectually mock it away. Like, they're just drunk. You know, but it was only 9:00 in the morning. And here's the thing, and this is what I want to address really quick because it's significant. There is the charismatic. We are Pentecostal, so there is an arm of Pentecostal that is charismatic. They are very, very, very emotionally driven by the Spirit of God and the moves of God to the point of even doing things that aren't biblical. Okay? Not one person ever in the Bible has been slain in the spirit and shaken on the ground. Okay? Now listen, but in the same breath though, I want to say, God moves. I got saved in a charismatic church. God still moves in the charismatic movement. And what I like about them is they're so emotionally in love with Jesus. You know, like that's their strength, is that and their faith in believing just about, you know, anything, even if it's not in the Bible, you know. but there's a strength there. Then we've got the Reformed Baptist. You want to hear from God? Open your Bible. Praise Jesus. Their strength is that they honor the Word. Highly, highly honor the Word. Some of my favorite preachers are Reformed Baptists, you know. But there's this beautiful spot in the middle. Guys, I know God speaks outside of the Bible because he spoke to me in ways that have changed my life. You know, when my son was going through his stuff, God told me what was going to happen. I went and saw Joe preach one night. He was sharing his testimony at a church in LA, and my son was going through it, you guys. Some of you remember. And God spoke to me. I was working at Louis Vuitton in Beverly Hills, because I'm also a flooring contractor. And I went and saw him preach, and I'm driving to work. God's, he goes, there's something coming down the road, the pike, whatever, that is not good, but I'll make it good. He told me that. And I just begin to cry and worship him in my truck, and his spirit, you guys, the spirit of God filled my truck so much that, I mean, I'm, just so like, ooh, like I couldn't stretch my arms out far enough. I wanted to rip my arms off and throw them at Jesus. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and it was give and take. It was a love affair moment in my truck. My son ended up ODing on fentanyl. Some miraculous things happened in all of that, and he survived, you guys. Like, my wife, I love her so much. She just, something's wrong. Went, found him in a bathroom, it was in the bathroom of a gas station. I don't have time to go into the whole thing, but there just happened to be two first responders there buying lottery tickets that were there to keep him alive. He wouldn't come out of it, and he was in a coma. They hit him 3 times with Narcan, wasn't coming out of it. It was during COVID, so only my wife could go to the hospital, and I went home, and I began to weep, but then it was like something got me up out of the kitchen into the backyard and just worship God. And I began to worship God, and this power came out of me, and I just began to speak God. Whether you take his life tonight or you spare it, blessed be your name. I'm all in with you. I will not blame you for this. I understand. It's like, I know that you have a purpose and a plan for me, and I will not let this veer from me, but I put my son's life in your hands. And God spoke to me, and he said, because of your faith, today I bless your house. The next morning, he came out of the coma. My son, still serving in the Air Force. And I mean, he came out of rehab right into the boot camp. Like, it was like, whoa, still going strong. You know, and listen, I know that it doesn't happen like that for everybody, but here's my point. I was ready to receive whatever news it was. Blessed be your name. Life or death. My son's still going to die. So am I. So are you. Physically. But God's not done with him yet. You know? God's not done with him yet. And it's really just about putting circumstances into the hands of God and saying, blessed be your name. I'm going to serve you no matter what. So, let me come back to the tongues thing. And listen, if you don't pray in tongues, I get it. I am 100% convinced and know that you can be baptized fully walking in the Spirit and not speak in tongues. But I am going to share both sides. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, and this is where, you know, me and some of my favorite preachers are going to. But that's okay. It doesn't break fellowship. This is not one of those foundational, but I want you to know both sides. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 says this. He's telling the Corinthian church, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. Listen, in this one experience of the birth of the church, those people were praying in other languages that other people could understand. But here, when Paul says, no one understands them. I didn't write the Greek word down, but that Greek word means absolutely nobody, including you, understands. Why? They utter mysteries by the Spirit. So there is a prayer language that you will not understand that you are gifted with by the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to take faith, because there will be a voice in your head that says, you sound like an idiot right now. Okay? It definitely, you know, you want to be moved by the Spirit, but you'll still have to open your mouth. I pray in tongues before I come out here every Sunday. Because why? I need to be edified in the Spirit of God to come out here and preach to you. I will never preach to you in tongues, pray in tongues from the stage. I just don't think we're there yet and somebody's going to interpret. You know what I'm saying? But it's for me. It's to edify me in the Spirit. So I do it in private. So I just want to encourage you that hey, it's okay if you don't, but if you feel moved by the Spirit to try it, open your mouth and let her rip. And walk in the faith that this is scriptural. It's not unbiblical. Okay? Enough said. Here's where we can all plant our flag. No matter where you land on that, we can all agree that the Holy Spirit provides the believer with power to witness, preach, teach, worship, obey God's word, and live a Christ-like life. That's a foundational belief, a doctrine that we can all stand on, no matter what. Cheyenne, you get out here? So, I wanted to leave room today for the Spirit. I want to leave room today for us to just sit with God. After you've heard this and been refreshed with the renewing of the mind with Scripture, I want to give room. And see, these people didn't ask for anything. They just were together with the expectation that God has promised. So I want to give us just an opportunity to be freshly filled. If you're watching from home, God can touch you from your living room. But we're all going to be of one mind right now, worshiping God, ministering to God, and letting Him fill us fresh with the Holy Spirit of God so we can go and walk in power this week. So we can go and love with the power that we need from Jesus. Amen? Amen. So, hey, let's worship together and then I'll close us out. Feel free to come up front if you want. Thank you, Lord.
Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over.
The very one who denied Jesus three times of knowing him stood up after he was filled with the Spirit of God, and he preached to these people who gathered around, and he quoted the prophet Joel, when the prophet Joel said, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Sons and daughters, women and men of his place, receive a fresh infilling of the Spirit of God, and may you prophesy over your life and your family, your children, your circumstances. Speak the truth of God as he brings it out of your mouth. And I thank you, God, even today, right now, that we are being healed, God. We are being healed from our past. We're being healed from our own of shortcomings, God, in the way we've always thought and done things. But this, your Spirit, God, that refines us and convicts us, is literally refining us right now, God, taking us to a deeper level in you, God, and a revelation that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are absolutely in control, God. I thank you for delivering people today from anger, from depression, from addiction, God, all those things that plague us continuously, God, let it be refined in the fire of your Spirit, Lord. I thank you for that. I thank you for a marker in this church, a new season, a freshness in the fire of God within each one of us to obey you at your word, to position our lives, God, that we would sit with you and wait with you until you show up and strengthen us, God. What is done in privately, let it be manifested in public, in your church, in our sphere of influence, God, but I thank you for making a difference in this world through this beautiful community of believers we call His Place Church. God, expand our territory. Let us continue to grow in ways that bless and build your people, bringing the very best out of them in Christ Jesus. God, give us great wisdom and discernment as we navigate together, a people of one mind, one spirit, unified together, loving each other, providing for each other, and trusting you together, because your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let it be done, God, and may we shine the light of Jesus Christ through it all. Through the good, the bad, the ups and downs, Lord, may we glorify your holy name. Blessed be the name of the Lord God, and bless your people as they go today. Shine a light on them, God. Let their faith be strong this week. Let them prophesy over their lives and their families and their children and their circumstances. Let them prophesy the truth of the living God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love you. Hallelujah.